We're going to have this on Sunday mornings now instead of Wednesday evenings, huh? First of all, I want to thank all of you who have done this wonderful thing for God's work. I'm overwhelmed at the results of the garage sale, and I thank each and every one of you for the effort that you have put into it, for all the work that you did, and for all of those that, of you who purchased things. And this is how God's work keeps going. And you'll never know how much I used of it already this summer to help other people. Diane gave me this card this morning. Pardon me. This is California smog. Every time I go down there, I get it, and I don't get rid of it for a while. It says, here's a little girl with a little deer and some other little animals down here, and it says, of all God's blessings, you're the loveliest blessing of all. Isn't that wonderful to hear? Blessed Guru, our worldly goods we lay at thy feet, the Seattle group. And then there's a quotation from my guru. Here I lay at thy feet, my limbs, my life, my thought, and speech, for they are thine, for they are thine. I'm just going to add one little comment. I'm very grateful for all the worldly goods that you lay at my feet. Now, if you will just go a little step further and lay yourselves at the feet of God in full measure, then we'll all have it made. Bonnie is always cutting things out for me. Bless her. Especially the funny ones I like, because you all know my sense of humor. And here is once a little cartoon. We've all heard about mothers going to write books, remember? Here are two men, one of them sitting right under a tree trying to write a book. Someone comes along and says, what's the biggest headache involved in writing a book? There's some fancy signs here. I don't know what the man is saying, but he says, interruptions. So then the fellow who was climbing the hill says, could you be more specific? And he says, sure. What's your full name? I think that's wonderful. I'd like to read to you this morning from Whispers from Eternity by my guru Paramahansa Yogananda. This is from the original book, which was published many, many years ago. And it's entitled, Demand for Seeing God in Everything. O Father, may I behold thee, above, beneath, behind, around, wherever I turn my gaze. Train the children of my senses to wander not away from thy home. Turn my eyes within to gaze upon thy ever-changing beauty. Train my ears to listen to thy unheard song. I will catch the breath of thy scented presence. Orient-wise, I shall worship thee, placing on thy altar the candles of my five senses. So shall I contact thee in the first pale shaft of dawn, in the bright light of moon, in the hidden glow of twilight, in the silver moonlight, keeping a light before thee always, the mystic taper of my love. As perhaps most of you know, David Ranney is up here with us from California, and we're very happy to welcome him. And also, he and Wilmer are going back together, and Wilmer's going to, they're best friends, you see, so they have to spend time with each other. So Wilmer's going to spend some time in California. Going through some things that I had yesterday, I like to read you spiritual things that other people have written. I've read you many of Keith Halverson's, which are very, very beautiful. And this one, which Wilmer wrote to me, there's no date on it. There's no anything. It just it starts out. It's one of the most beautiful things that I have come across, and I had forgotten all about the fact that he had written it. And I think perhaps you can judge the man and his great desire from God from this. I, like you, will achieve complete self-mastery and assume my rightful place amongst those who rose to the heights. In spite of the odds, the tests, the earthbound pleasures, and the traps of the Maya's maze of delusion. The thing about ego that makes it hard to deal with is that you don't know if you are dealing with it successfully until you are. Really, the worst thing to do is to try to deal with the ego. In doing that, you play its game and are susceptible to its tricks. I know my attending to ego's game gives it the power to do its work. It is as if ego has placed an illegal tap on the wires of the life energy supplying your consciousness and has hooked up a master switch to your attention. When you think about it, the switch is turned on. It drains the life energy, thereby dimming the light of God's consciousness. You feel the power loss, and instead of turning the switch off by fixing your mind completely on God, you say, "What have I done?" When you ask that question, you automatically identify with the ego, the body, temptation, duality, and all of the rest of the tribes that seek to destroy the temple or support its foundation on quicksand. At this point, alternatives are displayed across the print-out screen of the mind. Depending on one's past habits and the amount of willpower one can muster, a choice is made. You step up, stay where you are, or continue to slide. The degree is a matter of your free will's choice, mammon or God's will. Praise to those who proclaim God alone. Glory to those who plant that in their consciousness, open their hearts to Him with true trust, faith, love, and surrender, and then proceed to climb to the mountaintops of doing His will alone. One must have the knowledge that all that happens is a result of their own actions, but also it is God come to test them to see if they can measure up. All that reminds me of the July 28th entry in God Calling. All your lessons cannot be learned without difficulty. And this was needed to teach you a lesson, not to him who walks on with no obstacles in his way, but to him that overcometh is the promise given. So attain peace, to attain peace quickly in your surroundings as well as in your hearts. Learn your lessons quickly. No lower standards than my standards shall be yours. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so I use my will to do God's will. I dedicate my life to him continually. My heart cries for him, longs for him. And I know that the realization of my oneness with my Father, my infinite beloved, is the only meaning, the only reason, the only purpose for my existence. I know deep, deep, deep down inside, beyond all levels of delusion, that I will one day stand on the top of his feet, pulling on his pant legs, screaming my love and surrender to him, and he will reach down and lift me up. He will hold me close to his chest. I will put my arms around his neck, bring my face underneath his chin, and I will say, "Father, I love you. It feels so good to be home." He will say, "Rest, my child. Forever will you dwell in my eternal oneness, never to stray again." I think that is really something. Wilmer, in your leaving, we want to thank you for all that you have contributed. We hope you will come back soon. I want to read to you this morning from Acts 17, beginning with verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I am to you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear they again of the matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. For in him we live and move and have our being. I want to talk to you about giving to God in full measure. Many of you have been with me a good many years. And there are brand new ones and some who have been several years. Through these years, in the beginning, I was going through many spiritual experiences myself. Tapes were made of many of them, most of them, and it is really very interesting to listen to these tapes now and see how each step of the way man thinks he has uncovered perhaps the whole diamond when he has uncovered only one facet of it. And he has to keep on plotting and plotting, going through many, many experiences until finally he goes through the supreme experience of laying down his own life at the feet of God. Now, what does it mean to lay down your own life? It means to lay down your life as the Son of Man, the human ego, in order that you may realize in all of its wonder, beauty, and glory the fact that you are God in human form, to realize your real self. In order to do that, you have to measure up. Anybody can say to themselves, this is the way I am. You know the way I am. And stay there for the rest of their lives. But to the man who really wants God, who wants to find out who and what he is in God, that man will get busy and he will make every effort to overcome all the human frailties within himself until he comes to that final moment when he knows beyond any question of a doubt that he of himself can do absolutely nothing, that it is the Father who doeth the works. And in that moment of total surrender, God lifts him up and he takes him into his arms and he makes him his own and he makes him realize who and what he is. It is not an easy path. It is a very difficult path. But look at your own lives, each and every one of you, and ask yourselves, are your lives easy? What about all of the problems that you have brought upon yourself through your own choice, your own free will, and are blaming on everybody else? The day has to come when you have to face yourself and realize that whatever your problem is at this moment, I don't care what it is, you chose to make it that way. Because at some time or other, in some lifetime or other, you made a choice. And so you are now either reaping the reward or the punishment of that choice. People many times get together and then they find that they are not suited to each other. And they wail and they cry, bemoan their fate. And instead of trying to change themselves so that the situation could become better, they complain about the other fellow, about everything else, about their horrible situation, and then they're ready to walk out on it. And what has been accomplished? You have lost ground in the spiritual field. As I've said many times, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither does man attain his God realization overnight. It takes a real soldier, a real hero, a real heroine to actually climb the mountain, get to the summit, and hang up there, hang in there, as it were, to be willing to go through anything and everything that is necessary for you to go through.
I'm reading the
in order that you may achieve your goal. There's a seat up here. Nobody's going to do it for you. You can ask for help all the way up and down the line. This morning I received a call very early. Somebody told me that they had done something wrong. And I said, what do you expect me to do about it? They told me what it was. There was not one thing I could do. The wrong, so-called, had already been done. We go through life doing the best we can each moment. And we have to learn that we have to live life, because life is God and God is life. The true guru-disciple relationship is a beautiful and wonderful thing. It is a romance between the soul and God in human form. Master made the statement one time that it was necessary, if the disciple were to attain God realization, to develop complete humility and not to try to teach the teacher. He said that the guru was the awakened God trying to awaken the sleeping God. I think that's a beautiful statement. The awakened God trying to awaken the sleeping God. And believe me, the awakened God has a chore on his or her hands. As all of you know, I am love from head to foot, because God is love. We all came from him, and to him we shall all return. But I've been giving you the soft love, the fun love, all the rest of the love. And there have been some who have abused this very, very badly. So when that happens, it comes time for the love of the crucible. And I'm going to clue each and every one of you who have been with me. The new ones I will still be easy. From now on, things better shape up. I mean it with everything I have. I don't know how long I have to be with you. I'm 75 years old. But there's a tremendous amount of work to be done in this world for God. And we have to forget ourselves and the desires of our senses and put our shoulders to the wheel and get busy and get our God realization. I can't tell you how badly it's going to be needed. And we read many books. I do, you do, everybody does. I don't get too much time for reading, but I do what I can. But a book was sent to me not long ago. It's called We Are the Earthquake Generation. And if you have any doubt about the fact that you should get busy with the earthquakes that are happening around the world today, read that book. It will frighten you. It does not frighten me. Because you see, I loved God enough to give him my life one time in full measure. And I don't mean just to hand it to him on a platter. I mean I went through the mystical crucifixion. I went through the death state. And I came back to again go through more experiences until I found my oneness with him. And to be able to teach the truth to all mankind. Each man must die in order that he might live within God completely, fully, beautifully. And the way you learn to do that is to cope with your problems. Give thanks for your problems. Because if you didn't have any problems, you'd be, believe me, in sad shape. Norman Vincent Peale once had a man come to him and tell him that he had so many problems he didn't know what he was going to do. And Dr. Peale talked to him a little bit, and he said, if I could only get rid of my problems. And Dr. Peale said, well, everybody in the world has problems, but I know one place where you can go and find 100,000 people and not one of them has a problem. The man's face lit up. And he said, that's for me. Take me there. And he said, all you have to do is to go out to Woodlawn Cemetery 100,000 people all buried there and not one of them have a problem. That is in the human state. But you see, he didn't go quite far enough. Because God doesn't die, and God is the life in you, and you go from this form when you shed it into the astral world, and you still have another world to deal with and problems that you built down here before you come back and face the whole thing all over again. So where is the place to correct it if it isn't right here and now, this moment? Each and every one of you here know the laws of God. They are written in every single great scripture in this world, regardless of what it is, the do's and the don'ts. And then there are a lot of the little, as the Roman Catholics used to call them, venial sins. The big ones are the mortal sins. The little ones are the venial sins, the ones that don't come under the Ten Commandments, but still, believe me, are sins against yourself. And when I say a sin, I mean you're doing it against you. It is an enhancement of the idea of your separation from God, because everything you put in your mind, your mouth, your body, everything you listen to, everything you see, everything you feel is a part of you and is being affected. And if you want to make your body a trash can, if you want to make your mind a garbage heap to take in everything that isn't right and then make excuses for yourself for not doing the right thing, that's your privilege of doing so. But believe me, you are doing yourself the worst disservice in the world, and no one else is doing it to you, and no one else can take you out of it. The spiritual teacher comes to teach you the truth, to guide you, to direct you, but it is you, every single one of you, who have to do the work yourselves and get to where you're going, because it is your God realization. It is your peace of mind. It is your health. It is your very life that is at stake. No way will I make a decision for somebody. No way will I live their lives for them. My part is to teach them how to live their own lives, to make their own decisions. But it is high time that we shaped up and stopped this fooling around. You know what the rules are. No drinking, no smoking, no drugs. Those are vital. Because this is the temple of the living God. It says so in here and in every scripture in the world. And what right do we have to desecrate his temple and then cry because we get ourselves in trouble? The Ten Commandments are in the book, and they should be obeyed. And to have people tell me when they break these commandments that they didn't see that there was anything wrong in it is sheer stupidity and is downright lying and hypocrisy, and I won't buy one bit of it. I don't like to have people tell me how much they love me to my face, to tell me how great God is in me and all the rest of it. Only God is great. I'm not. Believe me. And then behind my back be doing all the things that they know they shouldn't be doing. And these people I'm going to crack down on, I promise you. And if you can't take it, then I guess you're not worth wasting my time on. So this is a test, a challenge to each and every one of you. Because God realization means everything in the world to every man. It's the sole purpose for which he was put here. Not to amuse himself, not to indulge in the things of the senses, but to find out who and what he is in God. To go inside and explore within his own being all of the beauty and the wonder, and to find his strength and his power there. You see, you have all of the problems in the human sense, and you think, well, I'll get my God realization, I'm not going to have any more. But I'm cluing you. As long as you are living in this world of duality, in a human body, you're going to have problems, because in the first place you have your own, and they are multitudinous, and then you have everybody else's, and that's stupendous. Believe me, it is not an easy load to carry, and I do not plan to spend every moment of my life, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, giving, asking nothing in return, but the fact that you put into practice what I teach and not get any results. And as I have told a few people lately, if things don't start shaping up, this is a great first sermon, I know, but if things don't sharpen up, it's a good way to start up, shape up. I'm going to leave everything and go all by myself and write books, and you won't see me anymore. You can read my books. That's a promise. I've had it up to here. I'm tired of it. Now, those of you who are here for the first time perhaps will think that I'm very tough. I'm as soft as jelly, as most of you know. And the least little thing, I'm right back loving and giving and doing and all the rest of it. We all need to give and do. So many people today are psychologically disturbed that it's unbelievable. I have come across so much of it in my trip that you wouldn't believe it. These people need help. They need help and understanding. They need help financially. There is so much work to do. And as we grow, we're going to need help to find a place that is bigger to house the people. And everybody sits down and does what they feel like doing and doesn't get their God realization and gives me nothing but lip service. And I don't want any more lip service. I want the name of God on your lips. I want your full attention on Him. I found out a very interesting thing while I was gone. Came from somebody who is here, as a matter of fact. I found out that after this Jim Jones thing in South America, and there was all of this going, information being spread around about all the cult systems, that we were also mentioned. And you know how? We are called the no-name cult. Because we don't have a name, because we don't have an organization, because we want the full attention upon God alone, we are called the no-name cult. But I was very curious. So I looked the word cult up in the dictionary down south. And I found that it meant any religious order, which includes the Catholics, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Isms, all of them. Every one of them that had banded together under a name to worship God. We don't have any name, so we aren't cult. I wrote that very carefully down from the dictionary and read it to the group down there. It was lots of fun. I'm not interested in forming an organization. I am interested in taking each soul which comes before me to God, to help him to realize, to become the highest of that which he is capable of. That's my sole purpose. And God and my guru come before anything, anyone in this whole wide world, and I will do what God tells me to do, regardless if it takes my last breath, my last ounce of strength, and every one of you know it because I've demonstrated it by coming here when I could hardly crawl in order to serve you. Do you have that same love, that same devotion for God that I am having for God in you? I want some results. I want some results. It isn't an easy path, as I said before, and there's a story written in Swami Ramdas's book, Stories by Ramdas, about a monkey. This monkey was tied by a rope in a certain place, and there was just a small niche up above him. And he was left there day after day, totally disregarded. No help given to him, very little food, and that was thrown at him. And here he sat in the midst of all of the mess that he had to make himself through taking care of nature. And without food, without care, all of a sudden he happened to look up and he saw this small niche. And he thought to himself, if I can only jump up there, I'll be safe from all of this, and at least I'll be a little cleaner than I am. So with all of his strength, he jumped. But somebody had tied a stone on the rope on top of just roping him in. And so again, he fell down. And he thought to himself, I've got to try, I've got to try. So he jumped again. And the same thing happened. And he kept doing it and doing it until he was almost exhausted. But through his efforts, finally, the rope was loosened. The knot that held him tied to the stone was loosened. And he was able to take one final leap and get up in the niche. And he was free of the stone. And he was safe. And he was clean. And this is the way human life is. We have to keep going up and down and up and down and up and down. Some people think that you can go through life trying never to make a mistake. It is through the mistakes you make that you learn your greatest lessons. There is no human being on earth that is perfect, except the one who has realized God within themselves, totally, fully, and completely. And that one is perfect only in the sense that they have realized who and what they are. They have realized their oneness with God. They have realized that because God created this whole universe and beyond, that He is the total or sole existent in it. That's all. Just God. There aren't two forces. There only seems to be the positive and the negative, the good and the evil, the dark and the light, the warm and the cold. But it is all from that one source, that one power, God, which goes out from itself, sustains itself, and returns to itself. And because I preach that, do you know what I heard that somebody said? Well, Mother says that everything is God. So when we want to do these things like smoking, drinking, sex, drugs, all the rest of it, it's all God anyway. So why not do it? For God's sakes. What an idea. It is totally wrong, and the individuals know that. It is not what I am talking about. This world is in a sorry state, but it is God's world. And only as each one of us become awakened in Him, then can we awaken the sleeping God in others. Let us all band together. Let us realize the wonder, the beauty, the glory of the new order that will come, and it will come. And remember that it says in the Bible, he who has experienced the first death need have no fear of the second. So it says, unless ye die and are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So unless you are willing to die to this little human ego self and find your realization, your oneness with God, in the first place, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, and you will have fear of the first death, I promise you. Things are happening all around us. I happened to be in San Francisco when they had the earthquake down there just recently. And I was staying in a beautiful large hotel on the 8th floor with Lynn and Pat Downey. We had connecting rooms. Pat was in their room. I was still in my night clothes. And Lynn was in there with me. And there was the building. Bang! Back and forth, back and forth. And they had never experienced an earthquake before. So I yelled to Pat and I told Lynn to get in the doorway because there's additional protection there. And then I calmly walked over to the bed and put my bathrobe on. She says, Mother, why don't you get in the door, Jack? And I said, well, I tell you, if the building should happen to fall down, I don't want to find anybody to find me undressed. And I was perfectly cool and calm. I am not afraid, because I'm going to tell you a great secret. When God reaches out and touches you on the shoulder and says, come, my son or my daughter, it's time for you to leave, no matter where you are, under what conditions, you're going to leave. By the same token, there can be 1,000 around you in the same disaster, and it is His will that it isn't your time yet, you're going to be saved. So why worry? Why not relax? Years ago, I read The Sleeping Prophet by Jess Stern, and he told about the terrible earthquakes that were happening. And at that time, my husband wanted to go to Colorado, so we went to Colorado. Then he didn't want to stay in Colorado, so we wanted to go up the mountain. So we went down to Idlewild, and he didn't want to stay there, and we came back. But when we were planning on moving to California, there was one devotee that I had decided that wherever I went, in fact there were a couple of them, they were going too. So in the beginning they were going to move to Colorado, and they even sold their houses, and one of them went to find out about a job. And then when I went to California, it was the same thing. I was staying at a devotee's house in Haywood down there, and every morning when I woke up my bed would be going just like that, because that's right over the center of the action there. And so they said, well, Mother, you can't move to California. Just think of all this that's going to happen. And I said, why not? I want to be where the action is. When you've been through that first death, you know that there is no such thing as death. There is only a deeper sleep, that you but shed one garment, which is this garment that you wear, and you sleep a while, then you get up and you pay a little debt on the other side, so watch it. And then you come back and you start all over again in a new body with a new garment. But the same God that was in you and is in you now will be with you then. He never dies. God is not dead, and he never will die, because he is eternal and he is infinite. He is everlasting, ever existent. In fact, the only one existing. So get rid of this idea of duality and realize that every single thing in this universe is God. If I want to use a modern day expression, I could say God doing his thing. And that's just the way it is. You find your own strength. You test your own strength. You find out whether you can measure up or not. And you can always tell the measure of a man by the effort he makes, that in spite of insurmountable obstacles, that still he keeps climbing, that still he is reaching out for the top, that he is not going to let anything deter him from reaching the summit. And when somebody does that, especially in the Himalayas there, it makes world history. How much more actual, real history it makes when a man reaches the summit of his own soul, when he climbs the mountain of his own being. Because God is not to be found out here, nor is he coming a second time out here. Because he said that God and the kingdom of heaven are within. So if he's going to come a second time out of the clouds of heaven, he will come only within your heaven, of your being, when you have sufficiently made the effort and purified yourself and love him enough, more than anything or anyone else, particularly yourself, so that you can receive him. Don't be like the five virgins that didn't have any oil in their lamps. And when the bridegroom came, they begged those who did for oil. But the ones who had the oil said no. And by the time they went out to get the oil, the bridegroom had left, and the five virgins with him. This union, this romance between the soul and God, is the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most satisfying thing in the world. If you go with God, he goes with you. I have never seen such demonstrations in my life as I have had this summer. I happened to be in a situation where people needed money. I got a bill in the mail, and it was needed badly. I took it out of the envelope with one hand and handed it out with the other. Somebody else needed help. Somebody gave me a check for $237. I needed $63 more. I opened a couple more envelopes, and I had that plus a little. I handed it out. This is the way we should be working, helping one another. Not just for ourselves, but for him alone. There are so many people who are poor and who are in bad straits, and they need our help. Serve them. The greatest service you can give is to give of God within yourself. But serve and give of everything we have. And this group has certainly demonstrated this beautifully, bountifully. And it is through what you do that it makes possible for me to help many people, believe me. I don't spend it on myself except for my needs. But I use it in his name and for his purpose. I would like each and every one of you to become the full measure of a God-man, not just a man, but a God-man. And it's the one who controls himself, who masters himself, who controls the situation, who wins every single battle. Because he can go through all sorts of things. He can cry, sometimes he can scream, but he comes back up on his feet and he gets going and he reaches that mountaintop. Because he has made up his mind that God comes first, last, and in between, and that nothing is going to stop him from serving that one who is his very self. Don't forget that when you serve God, and when you serve God in others, that you are serving yourself, because God alone exists. And when you feel that ecstasy, that bliss that comes from constant meditation and communion with Him. You will realize that what I say is the truth. There are many people who go into meditation, and all of a sudden this great peace comes over them. And instead of reaching out then to commune with God, they go to sleep. Give yourself sufficient time in the morning. Wake up early enough to meditate, to commune with Him, to become one with Him. And go into meditation early enough at night so that you are not too tired and sleepy. And put God first in your life. Because without Him, you cannot move, nor live, nor breathe, nor have your being. Remember that. You of yourself are nothing. And without Him, nothing, no one would exist. But He is eternal life. Everything that happens in this lifetime is the ebb and flow of God's one life. It is God living His life. And in His sleeping state, He punishes Himself. It is that state of ignorance and of darkness, which brings only death and despair. But if you will lift your mind, your hearts, above all your hearts, and give Him yourself in full measure, then in full measure you will become a God-man. And you can take thousands to God yourself. Is this not the only reason we are here? To serve Him who is our all, who is our everything, who gives His all, His everything. And what do we give Him in return? We are His little children, the separate cells of His body, the separate sparks of spirit that He sends forth from Himself to express what He is on all levels of consciousness. Let us make that spark a great flaming blaze for God. Let us lift up our consciousness. Let us lift up our minds and our hearts. Let us be careful of the words that come from our mouths and use only that which is beautiful. Let us listen to music which is calming and soothing. Everything that is blasting and blaring, whether you know it or not, has an effect on your nervous system. It makes you irritable. It takes you apart. And some people love that. And it is not so. It is that which is peaceful and quiet, which will take you to your God realization in all things. Be masters of yourselves. Dare to be your real self, your God self, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Because these so-called friends that contribute to what you do to tear your body, your mind, your soul down, you will find absent when the final reckoning comes. And no matter what you try to accumulate in worldly goods and worldly possessions and anything else, the only thing that you can take with you is that which you have accomplished in the Spirit. And if you have failed to do so, you're going to have to pay a price for it. And so remember that and stop blaming other people and have the courage to face yourselves, to examine yourselves, and to do something about it. I want each and every one of you here to be God-realized, to be God-people, to be the example so that other people will reach out for the magnetism of God within you and see how wonderful, how beautiful, how full of love and of service you are to Him alone. And if you will do that, my life will be fulfilled and so will yours. And instead of going to everybody with your problems, go within yourself and ask yourself what you can do about yourself. Commune with God. He is the infinite beloved, and He loves you with everything He has because you are His very self. Do that. And get busy. Get busy. Because until you are the example of that which you profess to be outwardly, you are not living a life in God, no matter what comes out of your mouth, what your actions denote. Because it takes complete purity, complete dedication, complete surrender, body, mind, soul. And don't forget to throw yourself in when that time comes. Because it's just the little delusive self, and it really doesn't exist. Because only God. Now let us all pray to Him. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of
Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious his presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh.